Happy ordinary time, everybody. You don't know how to respond to that, because now we're in the season of ordinary time. This is actually a strange kind of time of year, because we're supposed to get hit with a snowstorm tomorrow. But it is ordinary time, and there is, and as I always like to remind everybody at this, at the beginning of the new season, there's nothing ordinary about it. Because yes, within the season of Advent and Christmas, we focus on one aspect of Jesus' life. The same thing goes for Lent and Easter. We focus on one aspect of Jesus' life and his ministry, but in ordinary time, we take a much broader view. And of course, at the beginning of this season of ordinary time, we begin with his first public miracle. When you describe Jesus to other people, what do you say? He is our Lord, he is our Savior, he is our Good Shepherd. But when you look, now this is a Bible trivia question for you. When you look throughout Scripture, what is the most often used description about Jesus' relationship with the church? And you know what it is? The bridegroom. And what does the bridegroom do? He marries his church. From our first reading, from Isaiah. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. This is what biblical scholars would call a prefigurement, something that points to something later. A prefigurement of our Lord's relationship with his church. And who is his church? We are the body of Christ. But before we begin, before we continue, let's return to the beginning, the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. I heard that somewhere. God loves us so much that he made us. His love imbues our very being. It's part of us. But it is incomplete. So man, without considering the revelation, asks the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? This is the beginning of discernments. Because we are incomplete, we need to be made whole. We need a union, a common union, a communion to make us complete. So there is our common vocation, the broad path, as it were, to be made complete, to return to the Father, to complete the love that was begun in us with our creation. From the book of Genesis, second chapter, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suited to him. So the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature was then its name. The man gave names to all the tame animals, all the birds of the air, all the wild animals, but none proved to be a helper suited to the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while the man was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built the rib that he had taken from the man into a woman. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them will become one body. God said it is not good for the man to be alone. As human beings, we are social creatures. We long for companionship. We seek friendships. We seek relationships because we long to be complete. So, from the moment of creation, God establishes the union of a man and a woman so that the two can become complete. And in Genesis chapter 1, he says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And he did not mean to plant apple and orange trees, okay? Why? Because love begets love. Here is a very simple explanation of the Trinity, although the analogy is weak when describing the relationship to the Trinity. The Father infinitely loves the Son. The Son infinitely loves the Father. And the love between them begets the Holy Spirit. Are you starting to see a similarity between the love of the Trinity and the union of man and woman within the sacrament of marriage? When the man loves the woman and the woman loves the man, the love between them begets something greater. And in the physical act of love, God is present. Conception occurs, life begins, and God is there to place a new soul within that new person. Life begins at conception. We have two feast days in the church that celebrate that reality, the Immaculate Conception and the Annunciation. And St. John Paul II's teaching on the theology of the body regarding the communion of persons, the marital embrace is not merely a union of bodies, but a communion of persons brought about through the body. And this communion of persons in one flesh is an icon of the inner life of the Trinity. It images the love between man and woman, images the love of the Trinity. Imagine that. No pressure, husbands and wives. The love of your marriage is an image of the love of the Trinity. The love of the Father for the Son for the Father, the love of the Son for His church. And in Ephesians, we hear, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And how much did Jesus love the church? That much. He died for it. You have to be willing to die for each other to get each other to heaven, including your families. And that's why I tell young couples who come to me for marriage preparation, your job is to get her to heaven. Guess what your job is? Your job is to get him to heaven. And when you have children, guess what your job is? To get your children to heaven. That's what it means to be fruitful and multiply. That is how you build the kingdom of God here on earth. By bringing more love, more souls into the kingdom. That's why marriage is an institution of God brought to the dignity of a sacrament by Jesus himself. He performed his first miracle at the wedding of Cana. I like to call it the wedding reception at Cana. At the behest of his mother, "Woman, how does your concern affect me?" Without blinking an eye, Mary turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." She kind of puts her son on the spot. Okay, it's time. And 6 stone water jars holding 20 to 30 gallons. That's 120 to 180 gallons of wine, okay? That's why I call it the wedding reception. That's a good celebration. Things done perfectly. Water filled to the brim. Water not only turns into wine, but turns into good wine. And it is done with abundance. Jesus does this perfectly. On our parts, we have to follow that example of perfection. Easily said, but our perfection falls short. After all, we are human. We're prone to mistakes. That's why we must keep the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman holy, because it is an example of the love of God. To live our lives in sacramental marriages. There are circumstances in our lives where this may not be possible. It's called the cross. But you know what? As long as we conform our lives to God's will be happy. You can write that down. My will according to God's plan. My will according to God's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray that every day, right? We will find happiness in living out God's plan for us. To live our lives sacramentally. Not living out the fulfillment of his plan causes us to be separated from the body of Christ. And we will not experience the fullness of his love. Oh, but he wants us to have love. He wants us to be happy. That's why he died for us. Are we willing to do the same for each other? I guarantee if we do, we will be happy and we will live our lives according to his plan to bring about love in his church.